Let's begin today's edition of CNV with Mike McIntosh as he points out our need to trust in God.
So you put that together with Romans. All things work together for good. And then you look at this, that there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. And God knows you're strong enough, ladies and gentlemen, to be suffering or going through a trial or tribulation. He knows it. So he's allowed it to come to build you up.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus, and I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus, and I'll stand up and shout.
This is the Monday broadcast of Chapter and Verse with our teacher Mike McIntosh. As we proceed through the 8th chapter of Romans, we find Paul completing his main argument for the effectiveness of God's salvation plan. He's shown us how the gospel saves the sinner by imputing right standing before God through Christ's sacrifice. But that's not the end of the story. We also discover that God imparts his power to us through the Holy Spirit. This means we not only know that we are saved, but we can enjoy the power to live out our salvation today. This background will help us better grasp the principles and practices that are presented in the following chapter of this magnificent book. And now let's go to the services of Horizon Christian Fellowship and join Mike McIntosh.
You see, when things change on a mass scale, it's not hysteria when you're manipulated through social engineering. You all know something's wrong, but you don't know what it is. Something's going on, but you don't know exactly what it is or who it is. There are people manipulating you for their will. But God says, all things will work together for good for my kids. God will move the universe for you if he has to. I think of my daughter that was born when I was 17 years old out of wedlock, and she was immediately adopted out. Never saw her, and then we found her. And I think of all the things that God did to verify to her that I was her dad and to verify to me that she was my daughter. Well, she was born on August 19th. August 19th is the day that my brother was killed in an automobile accident. Her oldest daughter was born on August 12th. My mother's birthday was August 12th. Her youngest daughter, who's at Arizona State, she was born on October 30th, and our son Philip was born on October 30th. Just before, after we met, she told me that a few weeks earlier she had had a stillbirth. Very, very stressful, painful thing for a woman. She named the baby Victoria Michelle, Michelle being Michael in French. She had no idea my name was Michael. How could all those things line up? And there's other things. But how could those all line up so that we could sit there many years later and say, God was watching over that little girl that a minister and his wife adopted her and raised her in the fear of the Lord. And the first sentence out of her mouth after I called her was, "Are you a Christian, Mike?" Well, sort of. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? I said, "Well, yeah, I do." And she said, "Well, I don't have to evangelize you?" And I said, "No, she's a good Baptist girl." All things work together for good. God will move things. He'll do whatever is necessary to show you his love. So he has the future in front of him and the past in front of him and the right now. He says in verse 30, "Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified." He's called you. You are justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. Justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. He's justified me. He knows my past. He knows the guilt I carried. He erased it. He put it on his son on the cross. He said, this guy goes free. My son's paying the penalty for him. My goodness, that's just too much to believe. Nobody's ever done anything for you before. But they're showing you that Jesus actually died for you. It's personal. Yes, God is very personal. The Bible says, Jesus said it himself, every hair in your head is numbered. So some of you ladies with your brushes this morning were going, and there goes 12,673,000, there goes 74, 75, and you guys with the gel slicking it back, and you lost a couple hair plugs or whatever, you know. So every time a hair goes out of your head, it's numbered by God. Doesn't he have more important things to do? Yeah. He's just looking after us. He has justified you. And if he's justified you, he's going to glorify you. There is an evacuation of planet Earth being spoken about around the world right now. The body of Christ in Tanzania, in Kenya, all over Africa, down in South America, they're filling stadiums. The people are praying around the clock, 50,000 people at a time. Central America popping for Jesus right now. The word is he's coming back any day now. And you want to be found in your Father's business, not in the business of this world. You want to be found in God's business. God has called you. He has justified you. You do not go to prison for your sins. You are set free, and God will give you a new body and glorify you just like his son. But take it a step further if all things work together for good. What then shall we say to these things? Hold it. Didn't it just say in verse 28 that we know that? I mean, total confidence. We know this to be a fact. And then he says, well, what shall we say about these things? He's not saying it like that. He's saying it like this. Whoa. What can we add to this? I mean, how amazing that all things work together for good. A lot of people during this economic downturn committed suicide. I'm sorry for them. I'm sorry for the families. Because the pressures of the finances were too much. And this verse tells you that if you'll be patient and you love God, he's there. And I learned over the years from experience, not that I ask him to show up to help me out of a problem. I don't want to have him come from somewhere. I want to be with him every day. Every minute, I want to love Jesus. And he will help me. He doesn't come from somewhere. He's right inside of me. He loves me. And he's taking care of my heart for eternity. He promised he would glorify us. What then shall we say? There's not much more we can say but this. We say to these things, if God is for us, look at that and underline it. If God is for us, who can be against us? Is that not great? You're on God's side. God's on your side. You're together. Who in the world can be against you? What bully can coerce you when you can just say to them, take it up with my dad. I talk to my big brother. Who? Jesus. He's a Mexican? No. I'm talking about Jesus in the Bible. Jesus in the Bible? Yeah. He died for my sins. He died for your sins. Didn't you know that? I'm not here to talk about that. I'm here to beat you up. Who's going to do anything to you? If God before you, circle that please in your Bibles and let it just sink into your brain cells. Who can be against you? You see, Galatians says if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the key is walking in the Spirit. So what shall we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? He's given us great victory here. He who did not spare his own son, but he delivered him up for us all of us. How shall he not with him, Jesus, also freely give us all things? If he has done for Jesus what he did, and you accept the gift of eternal life, and you're thrilled to have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, why wouldn't God give you all things? That means you don't need to struggle anymore. Right? It's his responsibility of the all things. But it's like children. They make a mess. They get a little older, you teach them to put the toys away. They get a little older and you say, where'd you get the dent in the fender? You know, you get a little older and it's, you know, it goes on and on. And as a Christian, it goes on and on. You mature, you grow. So whatever this is, God knows you can handle it and he's going to be there with you. It will work together for good. Your family will be changed. You will be changed. The world will be changed. Who can bring a charge against God's elect? Then he says it is God who justifies. God's elect, the Jewish people, God's elect, Israel, God's church. And you look at that and you see, I am justified. My sins are gone. God has stepped in for me. It is God who justifies. Now you just learn you never need to fear man. I've learned through this verse that I never fear man. I will respect their position, but I won't fear him. My fear is towards God. I fear him because he can take my breath and squeeze it in the palm of his hand. Or he can take his hand and he can stroke my cheek and tell me how much he loves me. And then don't worry about this. I have it under control. Well, yeah, but we're almost to the deadline. That's all right. God's teaching you a lesson all the way to the deadline. It's his responsibility to take care of you and your family once you have surrendered to him. You have responsibility. He has authority. You have a will, and he has the ways. Just be patient. Because you've gotten yourself into something doesn't mean that God can't orchestrate the universe in favor of you. If he could find that little girl and bring her to me, and so much happened in her life, at the same time on those same dates, things were happening in my life, he can do that and more for you. I just can't tell you enough how much God loves you. He wants to help you, but he doesn't want you to work it out. You got yourself in this problem. So he's going to work things out, and you will learn to trust him and wait on him while everybody else is scurrying around like little chipmunks. You stand still and you wait. Wait upon the Lord, the prophet Isaiah said, and you shall renew your strength. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. Just wait. Give him the chance to help you, and you will see. I talked to a lady between services. I don't think this is divulging anything, knowledge, but she has a son that has diabetes really bad. And he's not looking good. And they needed a pump that would pump the insulin into him with a needle on the end of it that would automatically do it for him and take care of his problem. Well, it was $7,000. She didn't have single mom. She didn't have $7,000. But she told me this morning that God brought us the pump for free. God brought it. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? God's the one that justifies your life. Rest in him. Who is he who condemns? Well, it is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even now at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. That's right. The devil says, do you know that Friday night and Saturday night she went to these parties? And the Lord looks at the devil and out of here, Father, she was ashamed, she was embarrassed, and she prayed with some people and asked forgiveness for what happened over the weekend. My blood covers it. Okay, get out of here, devil. He makes intercession for you. He loves you. He sees the traps ahead for you and the snares. He loves you. He's looking out for you. He's got it all under control. No matter what comes against you, Jesus is stronger and more powerful, and he makes intercession for you. Who shall separate us from the love of Jesus Christ? So circle or underline these. Will tribulation, make you turn against God? Will it destroy the love of Jesus? No, not at all. Tribulation. Will distress, you're really stressed out right now? Boy, you don't know what you're going to do with this distress in your life? Can that turn you away from God? Well, you might start doing things you shouldn't be doing, but it's simply because you put the Bible down. This stress has gotten you more than the love of God, ladies and gentlemen. This book has all the answers. And it's not allowed in the public schools because it speaks truth about creation and a God that sent his only begotten Son to die on a cross for them, buried in a grave and risen after 3 days and three nights. That's not a message that is accepted very well. Who is he condemns? He's at the right hand of God. Jesus is there for us. Well, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation? Nope. Will distress? Nope. Will persecution? Nope. Will famine? Nope. Will nakedness? Nope. Will peril? Nope. Will war or the sword? Nope. As it is written, he quotes Psalm 44:22, "For your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter." Yet, in all these things, there's that word all again. In all of these things that come against your family, come against you, come against your health, come against your friends, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. More than conquerors. You're more than a conqueror. You are a son or daughter of God. And in his kingdom, with your new glorification because of his justification, you'll have a new body and you'll be wearing this crown. We called them halos as kids growing up. There's a crown of salvation, a crown of righteousness, a crown of hoping for the return of Jesus Christ. There are a lot of rewards waiting for those that are serving him. Yet in distress and disasters and loss of job, will that separate you from Jesus? Well, some people it did. The economy, some people drifted a little bit. And through that, God was teaching them to trust. And we close with this. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. We're sons and daughters of God Almighty. Through him, Jesus. Now the word in some of your translations says, him who loved us. But in the Greek, it is a continue for him who is loving us. Aha. You see, you can't be a bad girl, and you can't be a bad boy. You can't be if God is loving you in the midst of your fleshing out. He is always loving you. He will not stop loving you. Nothing can separate his love for you and him except one thing: your free will. You can separate yourself. And you may be sitting here like many in the last service that you have separated yourself from God and you're taking another shot at it. Will he help me? Does he know where I am? Are these problems even a concern to him? He says, yet we're more than conquerors, for I am persuaded. Underline that. This is a fact. I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor pit bulls Nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, or things to come. There's no height, there is no depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. So, you get a phone. Some people say it's got a chip in it, equal to or better than the full power of the Apollo mission guys that went around the moon. You never thought there'd be a phone that you wouldn't have one in your home anymore. It would follow you everywhere. And then people could actually, through the air, send you mail. You don't have to go to the post office. It just comes to you. Too much. And that you could actually work out equations. There's apps for you to do everything. You never would have thought of that. But in this verse, God thought that this will do damage to the devil. All things that are created, he knows that there are creatures underground, underwater, maybe out in space, that they could be freaky. There is nothing bigger or better than the love of God. And you, I agree. And you need to start seeing him as your Father. God is love. Chapter 4, 1 John. And when you see that it's your Father that's in charge of everything, you understand now. Hey, just be patient. This will work out. You know, the Bible says all things work together for good. And you'll catch yourself doing that. All things, I told you. Can't find your car keys? All things will work together for good. Everything will work for if you love God. What a promise. I'm giving it all to him right now and more. I'll give 7 or 8 of you to him if you want me to, or 300 of you. Just let it go. And enjoy the presence of Jesus. The confidence of the Lord Jesus. The love of the Lord Jesus. The forgiveness. In the midst, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Right in the midst of our sin, he died for it. He's loving us right now. He loved us before we came in. He was loving us through the night while we were asleep. He's going to love you all the way to the parking lot and to In-N-Out Burgers. It's a sure thing. God loves me. This is a horrible thing that I just got into here, but all things work together for good. I am going to learn this lesson, and I'm going to turn around and comfort other people with the same comfort that Jesus has given me. Shall we stand and shall we pray? You know, that's a good chapter to hang your hat on for a while. We've been there several weeks in the 8th chapter. And that chapter is just so full of gold and nuggets for our hearts. Lord, I know you love these men and women. And I'm confident of that. As I was studying this week, as I prayed for this service, you gave me a great joy for these people of how much you love them. And some of the people here, you know very well that they're tied up in knots. They've been caught in a bear trap. They don't know what to do. Are they going to lose the house or whatever the business deal is? And we would ask in the name of Jesus that you would help them. These are your sons. These are your daughters. And it is so amazing to know that you're loving continually, all day, all night, even in the midst of our sin when we separate ourselves, you are still loving us. So now, Father, I pray that you'll move mountains for the doubter in the crowd, that things will pop up and change, that they will know that you are speaking from heaven to them. I would pray that you would encourage every business person here. You would encourage every father and every mother. I pray for all the single people that are here. The pressures of being unfaithful to you are just overwhelming, Lord. And we're asking this hour that you would break that bond of sin that has connected itself to these sisters' and brothers' lives. And that, God, you would be glorified. That you are in their life. And that you would give them the truth that would set them free. And that you would accept our thank you this moment for these tremendous scriptures to verify who we are. That you have justified us. And man cannot take this justification away. We're your kids. And we fail. But we ask you to make us strong. That we could carry on for your kingdom, Father. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
That's Mike McIntosh concluding our studies today from Romans chapter 8. Isn't it comforting to know that Christ and the Holy Spirit are always ready to make intercession for us and to direct our prayers? That's just one of the vital lessons we've learned in our studies in Romans. In the New Testament book of 1 Peter, we're told, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." As we continue to live for God, let the Lord bring out all the potential He puts into your life that you may shine for His glory. Before we end our time together today, let me encourage you to learn more about Horizons Worldwide Outreach. Horizon International currently has dozens of missionaries throughout the world, including countries such as China, Russia, Mexico, and Thailand. If you'd like to keep up to date on Horizon mission activities, read prayer requests, and support these men and women on the field, look in the ministry section, then go to missions on the web at hcf.org. Join us again tomorrow for Chapter and Verse. This program is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.